Well, here we are again. It looks another week, another movie.
Yes, indeed. Hello, Anthony.
And hello, David.
So, this week, after last week, travel in European land for our movie, Knife and Heart, you're the one who've chosen that movie today.
Yeah, now we're coming back stateside where we can talk about our favorite problematic king, Ari Aster.
Oh, yes, Ari Aster, you sick fuck.
And I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this and you know the name, then you probably know what short film we're talking about. Yeah. So we are going to talk about on this episode The Strange Thing About the Johnsons.
Yes, and it was strange indeed. It was 2011. I actually thought the movie was older than this. I was surprised it was actually only 2011.
Nope. 2011? Like, Ari Aster's only like 33. How?
Yeah, but I thought he was older, to be honest.
No.
This movie make me feel that he's older.
No, so for those of you that don't know, Ari Aster, he attended the American Film Institute in California. And this film was actually his thesis because, as he stated, he wanted to make something so profoundly fucked up because everyone else was in his class decided to be politically correct.
That's a punk, very punk of him. That's actually make him love him even more, to be honest.
And it seemed to work out in his favor because the video actually leaked before he even got a chance to premiere it at the film festival, and it went viral on the internet.
As they do.
For a short film that was exploring such intense themes such as incest and other fun time things.
Yeah, fun time indeed. And secret, family secret. It felt like a very dark version of a soap, to be honest.
Yes, but the thing is that this movie, well, this short film was intended to be taken very seriously. But once it actually leaked in 2011, memes galore, as we do. We love to make a joke out of everything. So the meme became very infamous online. And a lot of people were wondering, hey, what's this from? So people actually discovered the movie through the memes. And the movie definitely delivered for them.
But was it supposed really to be that serious to start with? I don't know. I felt there was a lot of humor into that movie.
It was similar. Humor. If you ever watched BoJack Horseman, it was kind of the same vein. It was very serious, serious topics with dark humor around it. So, first of all, David, what did you think about it?
Actually, I enjoyed it. I've got some issue with it. I've got the same issue that I was in every Ari Aster movie, is actually sometimes it gets too cryptic. It's very, very cryptic, and there's a lot of things in there that you could have explained a bit more. And one thing I do with Ari Aster movie, when I watch a movie and there's a character with a weird name, I'm always going to check the Bible references because I'm sure that there's something there going on that Ari Aster is trying to actually get us a little tip of information based on the church and and the Bible, like Isaiah, which is a character of the Son, which apparently, I don't know, I'm not a Christian, is actually about a prophet who kept saying bad thing and good thing at the same time. So, so it does fit the character, I must say. But yeah, it was okay. A bit confusing, the relationship between the Son and the Son and the Father. Was a bit confusing and maybe showed maybe a one-sided view of it, because I don't believe the dad is that innocent, to be honest, but we can talk about it later.
Okay, well, thanks for asking me about what I felt about it.
What do you think about it, sorry? So you would just decide to say hello.
This short film has always lived in the back of my mind since I've seen it. I think I originally saw it when it went viral the first time on YouTube. Then it got taken down. That was back in the days where it was kind of like the wild west mm-hmm. on YouTube. So anything was plausible.
Oh, the best time.
But how I feel about it, this movie. I keep calling it a movie, but this short film, it definitely explored themes of, I want to say kind of like, well, child sex abuse and stuff like that. But it was very interesting because it was, the tables were turned, you know, if you haven't, well, first of all, if you haven't even seen it, I guess you would want to know what this is about. Well, it's about a young man who actually molests his father, and it all starts off in the opening scene with his father walking in and discovering him
doing the business.
And he gives him this talk that says, you know, that about boundaries. So between then, that was like when I was thinking about this movie in the back of my head, it was always kind of foggy about the time jump, because I was like, wait, when did they jump time? But after watching it, I watched it yesterday again, like I was like, okay, so it actually wasn't that jarring. But the film in general, it kind of I don't know, it's just it was just weird. It just creeped me out. I'm not gonna say it really creeped me out, it's just more made me uncomfortable, because these are things that, you know, people face. And seeing the gaslighting, especially from the mother who wanted to pretend that nothing had happened. Like, there were various times in this short film where horrible things happened and the mother was just wanted to act like it didn't happen. And I think this film kind of explore what it's like in suburbia, you know, these people and their beautiful houses and their little lives and their nice corporate 9-to-5s. You know, it's all, sometimes it's a facade, and it really explored that the evilness that sometimes can reside in some of these homes, that there are horrible things going on and nobody's talking about it because they are afraid to unmask themselves, you know, to their other perfect neighbors.
It actually reminds me of a lot of newscaster. One actually talking about news about, I don't know, a murder or something in one of these quiet little towns. And they always say, oh, they always look so nice. And this is what reminds me of it. Just like these people say, oh, yeah, but it wasn't going out too much. So it seemed that it's, I doubt that nobody knew what was happening in the neighborhood, but everyone kept quiet. I don't know. I have a feeling that the son was pretty blatant about his abuse.
Yeah,
he was doing it during the party, for example. And you just like, I don't believe that nobody knew.
Huh. And, you know, there are common themes to this that mirror what happens to actual victims, where they have to go through this, and it's like everyone in the family is gaslighting them to not, you know, that it's not happening to them, you know. So to see that in this short film, it was like kind of yanking down the curtains a little bit, just peeping inside of middle-class America for the most part, you know. But this is something that I'm sure happens in
everywhere.
You know, everywhere.
Look at the church. Look at what happened actually in the church, and actually the scandal of the church and the abuse in the church was. Everyone knew, nobody was talking about it. And instead of actually dealing with it, we're just moving the priest to another fucking place. So yeah, it's pretty pretty classic. What I found, the 14 years jump, I found it a bit annoying because we have this scene where we realize that the son is pretty much doing the business, looking at a picture of his father young, and talk about loving. I love you, Dad. And the term love actually got a completely different meaning in that movie afterwards. And then we yeah. joined 14 years later when the son abused the dad in the party. I just found the jump very jarring because what happened between in these 14 years is the son, how did we came from that son to that son? And I feel that there's maybe a piece missing because I can't understand how this happened in the first place.
Well, you know, in the film, the mother makes it sound like it first happened on prom night. Do mm-hmm. you remember where she says, you know,
did
when
you
your
cry,
father was crying? Yeah. So basically, I don't know if that's when it started, but she made it sound like that's when it started. So I don't know. But, you know, speaking of the mom and all of the actors, what do you think about their performance in this?
She was amazing. I actually found that she had not much to say. She actually only talked at the end, if I remember correctly. She doesn't talk much in a...
I'm glad that you mentioned that because this is also something that's very... It was for a reason because in a lot of households, the mother is usually seen as complacent and doesn't uh-huh. say anything. So... I caught that when I watched. I didn't catch it the first couple of times I watched it, but after this rewatch, I was like, you know, after you mature a little bit more and you understand, you know, how the world works a little bit better, I could see things that I didn't see before. So it was actually a pretty good watch, which is a nod to another movie that we will be watching on this podcast, Eve's Bayou, which David has never seen.
Oof, no, I've never seen this one.
That is one that will also really test your memory, and it's a nod to the movie. So that these two have kind of the similar same theme. So if you've seen Eve's Bayou, you get it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I found that the most complicated characters for that show was the mother, because the mother didn't say anything, but everything was in her eyes, on her face. She wasn't saying anything, but you could see that scene when the dad is being abused in a bathroom, and she's just watching the TV, and you see the fear and the disgust in her eyes, and she switched the TV volume up. But you see the pain in her eyes, and she's such an amazing actress. I don't know if she's done anything since, but wow, you really felt the pain.
I'm not either, but I'm looking at the names of them. It's Billy Mayo, Brandon Greenhouse, and Angela Bullock. Now these were apparently all classmates of Ali Aster as well.
Really?
By the way, yes. So.
Well, the actors, the son though was a bit evil villain from 1980s movie though. I felt that
we love to see it, you know.
He was really an evil from a novella, like a telenovela. Just really felt like an evil, like the mustache. I would have seen the mustache, it would have been perfect.
So who do you think did a better job? The younger son or the older son?
In terms of acting?
Yeah.
You see, that's my issue, because if I see it as a comedy, I see all the string from a telenovela, so I found that he's playing the evil villain pretty good. So that would say the older son, and yes, much probably more complicated things. but it felt also it was a bit one side. It was a one note. His acting was a bit one note. It was just like it was nice, and then it was evil, and there was no. Sometimes I felt there was not that. How do you call it? I don't even know the word I want to use. It really felt one or the other. It was not mixed enough. And then for me, the best thing, actually, it was gaslighting, but it was actually, I don't know, I didn't feel that. No, I would say it was okay as a villain, but the acting was not that great.
Yeah, it wasn't. But I feel like the father and the mother kind of carry in the acting abilities in this one.
Definitely.
But the scene at the wedding where he's like caressing his father, I think that's when, like, when I originally seen this, I was like, what the fuck?
But don't you think the fact he was made in 2011, maybe also it was a different time. I felt that maybe we're not talking too much about this kind of things in that period compared to now, when actually every TikTok is about sexual abuse.
I mean, this was a prime reason why Ari Aster wanted to do it, because he felt him and his friends who are in this movie as well, they talked about this when they were coming up with his thesis, that he wanted to do something that would really kind of upset the balance, you know, do something that not everyone was doing, because everyone in his class, as he says, were making things that were super politically correct, and he didn't want to do that, because he's like, what's the worst that could happen? I flunk out of school, you know. Oh, what? I love that journey for him. So.
No, it does make sense. And I was spending quite a lot of time with people that were studying cinema in the UK. And it's true that a lot of people would be very, very safe on the subject. So yeah, kudos to him to actually decide to do something like this.
It worked out for him. But also, there was a little bit of a backlash for him actually choosing a black cast. You know, this was a very in 2011, I guess the conversation never stops, but him choosing a black cast was seen as not a good move for him. But as he stated himself, the race of the family was actually irrelevant, because these things happen in, you know, almost like, I'm not gonna say every household, but it happens. It's a very common, you know, thing that happens to people, whether you're black, white, you know, whatever. And he was really just wanting to explore that, like the what if aspect of it, like this, here are the signs that you would miss and all this. And he was really kind of trying to push that to people, like, you need to pay better attention, you know. So I commend him for for that. I kind of wish I could get like a follow up. Can we get like a?
Well, we got you got Hereditary, because it seemed that Ari Aster doesn't like family much. Because if you think about it,
really, because I feel like a lot of his movies, like Midsommar, for example. She lost one family, but she found another.
Yeah, after burning the boyfriend in a horse costume, in a bear costume. That's another movie.
You mean the cheating boyfriend? Yes, good for her.
Would you say it's a Gemini move?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. No, I'm thinking more of an Aries, actually.
Okay. Keep that in mind. But all the areas of the movie are actually about family and the destruction of family in some way. I don't know if you realize that. For me, that's what I've been realizing.
And the building back up of family, I feel like you didn't catch that part. Because even though he destroys the family sometimes, not in this one, guys, but in a lot of his movies, another common theme is the rebuilding of a family, but not in a conventional way. You know, it's not like your typical traditional family, like it could be best friends or whatever. It's like a new kind of a new family from the ashes of the old one that you just burned down in the backyard.
one thing actually make me double think about what the way I'm looking at things in that movie is when they start in the movie, I actually saw that the dad was a pastor. For some reason, I was just like, oh, the guy's a pastor, because coming to his son saying, it is fine. It is fine to touch your penis. It is completely fine. Everyone's doing it. Are you doing it, Dad? Everyone's doing it. And that was actually very, very funny. But
when I watch it, I kind of think of things like, maybe not as stark as like the Boondocks, but more like BoJack, where it's kind of just the social commentary meant to be serious, but still has like a little bit of comedy element where you're like, what the fuck, you know?
No, I agree. I agree. And anyway, I know you had 30 minutes to do it. I do believe it would have been nice to actually have a full-length movie out of it, because there was some stuff that I would have wanted to explore a bit better, especially this, like I said, on this 14 years jump. Yeah. Because I want to know what happened, because how old was a kid when actually when the movie started? 14, 15?
Yeah, 14? Something like that. But, you know, looking at this film in the eyes as a thesis, to think that, hey, I want to turn something in. Like, I wish anything I would have turned into school would have been that, you know, groundbreaking or whatever. But pretty cool thesis then. And, you know, if I would have been a teacher, I would have been like, yes, this is why I teach, you know.
And that remind me of the show we've been watching together, which was the reboot of Pretty Little Liars. One of the character is also studying cinema, and she wanted to do groundbreaking things. And the teacher said, "No, you're not going to do this. It's too controversial."
You stick to a formula, you know. Everyone's like, "Yeah, you got to stick to a formula." And I commend people that are breaking that formula up just a little bit, you know.
Which is funny, because the breaking of formula is going to be one of the theme of the next movie we're going to talk about next time. So
well, look at that, following a theme.
I know, without knowing actually. But I would say my big issue with Ari Aster is a lot of cryptic things. I like the fact it's in some way, detective movies. When I say detective movie, I mean that actually you can't just watch a movie once to understand everything. You need to actually watch it a couple of times so you can actually pick up the little detail that's giving you some information. Hereditary was one, for example, that was very important to actually understand the movies, to watch the second one. Midsommar, I'm sorry, the scene in with you drinks know. And one drink being redder than the other one. Was okay.
Well, you know, Midsommar is my comfort movie, so
okay.
We love a female empowerment.
I do agree, yes. I agree. And it's true, the men in that movie are all assholes. But we met a lot of assholes in our lives, so we can recognize them nowadays. It's actually funny, because it's a movie that is really anchored to reality, something that he hasn't done since. Every other movie he's done is actually very supernatural. It's interesting to actually see when he stay close to reality, it might be even more disturbing than actually what he does that is supernatural.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of his movies turn supernatural because of he now has the budget for it, but... There was another short film. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a silent film. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was another short film that he made where they don't talk the entire movie. And I don't know. I'm going to Google that. But, you know, one movie that I swore was by him was The Witch. I just thought that had... now.
It makes sense. It makes sense. It's the same theme, the same kind of fucked upness. Yeah, I can see it.
And when I found out that it wasn't, I was like, huh. So, all in all, what would you give this movie as a rating?
This short film, I would give it a 4 out of 10, I would say. No, let's say 7 out of 10. Yes. 7 out of 10. It was interesting watch. It was groundbreaking, no. But maybe groundbreaking for the US, but not really. European movie been following this kind of thing. We got Festen, for example, which is a very old movie.
Well, I think
that should talk about these kind of things.
Well, I think like things like this are very prevalent in the movies that aren't mainstream in America. Like I can think of 1001 movies like Losing Isaiah, you know, stuff like that, where this is a theme. But they're always, these movies are always sort of downplayed because for one, they're usually dramas. and dramas always seem to get a little bit of a back burner if they're not period pieces. But that's another conversation. But like when I say groundbreaking in terms of, I feel like it was kind of the first time that the roles were switched and people just weren't, it made people uncomfortable. Now, like things like sexual abuse and things like that, those are very common themes in like a lot of movies, you know, here. It's not something that, you know, we're not used to hearing about. But at the time in 2011, seeing like a son molest his father, you know, that was something like you were just like, what the fuck?
I see what you mean. But in terms of the subject matter, I feel that I've seen it before in European movies. It was pretty well done for what it was.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's been, I'm not gonna say it's been overdone, but it's been, I mean, it's been done. I mean, we got Law and Order SVU on every week with the same subject matter, you know.
Oh, yes.
So
it's a sexual abuse of the week.
So,
by the most twisted ones.
But yeah, I just enjoy things that sometimes, yeah, they might do it for a shock factor, but it makes people think, and we need more of that. So
I agree, and I think the shock factor thing, and I do understand this. I understand it's 30 minutes, it's a short film, or maybe you needed to go straight to the point, but some scenes were really shock factors. Were there for shock values, I think, to actually to get the point very quickly across, because it didn't have the time to actually spend more time exploring it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like another movie that if you're listening to this podcast, and we're not always about, you know, horror, I feel like if this is a subject matter with men, one movie that really comes to mind is This Boy's Life with Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio. This is another really, this came out like I think 1995. It was one of my favorite movies, and it also kind of explores this subject matter, and very good film. I recommend watching. But all in all, for this movie, I think I'll give it a 5 out of 10, because yeah, it stirred the conversation, but it left a lot to be desired. And hey, I get it, you know, it was his thesis. He was just like, okay, I'm trying to graduate, so you know.
But did he graduate from this?
He did graduate. And so yeah, props to him. Okay, David. So you want to talk about the music in this short film?
Yeah, actually, like, well, you said to me you didn't know there was music.
No,
I remember there was music. But I felt the music was actually the juxtaposition of music. It felt like a John Hughes movie sometimes, music was, and there was this horrible things happening on screen. It was pretty weird. It was just like a... It felt sometimes that he made a mistake. He chose the wrong soundtrack. He just make it very funny. I would say Shock Factor. I can see he was young when he done it, because the Shock Factor was there definitely. There was maybe less research on the not the setup, but more the execution. I think the character, like I said before, the characters were a bit mono. Was mono characters. What the dad was a victim. There was nothing there. Was just a victim. The mom was not saying anything. There was no. Can I say that? Some kind of variation in the characters. That makes sense.
Yeah.
There was one note. All the characters so were basic, one note. But that's
so basically, all the characters were pretty one-dimensional, and they had no character development.
That was the word I'm looking for, one-dimensional. Wow. Well, that's what teach me to record this in the morning. But yeah, it was one-dimensional. It was fun. It was actually a fun thing. I think today... it's a movie that would be maybe less shocking than it was in 2011, due to the fact that we're much more open about talking about these things now than we used to.
Yes.
So it was okay. I say I prefer his next movie, Hereditary. I find Hereditary a much better movie and a much better constructed movie with better characters. But it was a good attempt for the first one, really.
Yeah, I mean, technically it wasn't his first one. His there was one before this one called Boo, which actually featured the actor that played Sidney Johnson in that one. It was a short film as well, but it was like, I think maybe like 8 minutes long. That's some of his short films. He's got like, I think maybe three on YouTube that you can actually sit down and watch. His theme seems to never change. Like, this is the man that knows what he wants to say.
So man will wonder what's been happening in his family to want to say about this, sing about this, to be honest, sometimes. Okay, are you okay? Have you been molested as a kid, Ari?
But Ari, I think he's made some good progress. I wasn't really like, I was familiar with those short films, you know, back in the day, and I say that like that was in 1958, but
this old man.
But anyways, I feel like now, you know, he has the budget, he has the studio behind him, so he's bringing his imagination a little bit more out in each film. Some of his other films, like Hereditary, I went in, this was a movie, this is not a review of Hereditary, by the way, but that was a movie that I went into not really like correlating the two. Like, when I saw it, I wasn't thinking Ari Aster. You know, I was just like, oh, this is a new horror movie I want to see. So I remember going to see it, and I think it was the part where the kid gets, you know, their head. I was just super unsettled, and I was like, okay, I want to watch anything else he makes. And then I found out that he was the one that made that fucked up film. And
let's be honest, that scene actually really come back to actually this short film, because the song doesn't say anything, doesn't say what happened. There's again the secret there.
But you know, I think that this is also just a theme in general where people don't talk. Like, they don't speak their feelings. They don't, you know, everyone wants to hide things and not say what they're feeling, and especially in families, you know, when there's traumatic things happening left and right, and everyone's just turning the blind eye, and everyone's complacent in a way, because even if there's something going on in the house and you're not the one doing it, the fact that you know what's going on, you know.
I think the silent enemy, the hidden enemy in all this movie, were Hereditary, and this one is guilt.
Yeah.
Think about it. All the characters are riddled with guilt.
Yeah.
In the Johnson, in the short film, the mother knew what happened, doesn't say anything. And actually, you know, at the end that she knew since prom. So prom, I mean, the guy was 18, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was guilt, but I also think for this one, it was more so optics. Like, she was worried because, I mean, look, if everyone listen, I don't know if y'all catching what I'm putting down, but for this particular short film, she was more worried about the neighbors in the community finding out what her son had did to his father, that she would have rather killed him and just been a murderer than to let them know what was happening. Like, this is a secret, and this is very, and I want to say that this is very prevalent, and especially I forget the generation above the generation above Gen Z. I mean, not Gen Z, but Gen X. Wouldn't that be boomers?
The boomer was before Gen X.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, in that generation, they were super hush-hush. Like, anything that went on in the house, they didn't talk about it, you know?
Oh, yes. I think boomers' parents, I'm actually, I agree with that. I discovered some family secrets that was actually pretty, pretty juicy.
And you can see this also seems to be a theme in his movies. So I wonder if he, you know, battling with some of that too.
Yeah, well, Percy, is it something as well about in a Jewish family? I don't know about Jewish faith. There's all about pretending everything is fine and actually not saying anything. When I was living in the UK, there was a Jewish community, like an Orthodox Jewish community, next to where I lived, and I could see really the women were very hush-hush. They were not really talking.
Yeah.
So maybe there is that as well.
I was going to say that this is the one where the Jewish community and the African-American community kind of mirror each other, because there's a lot of this that happens in African-American households too, where things like this happen, and it's just not, everything's fine. Everything's fine. They're pretty much, you know, like, we're not talking about that. It needs to stop, you know.
I agree. Totally agree with you. I think the Britain is the same. I live in Brittany in Western France, and actually it's a Celtic kind of a community. And I think the Celtic are the same. They actually they're very hush about things. They don't talk about things. They don't talk about emotion that much, or about problems. You have to deal with it. So yeah, I can relate to that too. But overall, I think when you see the fact that it's dad is trying to say the truth, and he's actually like, he tried to say what happened, to explain what happened, to make an autobiography, and pretty much say, I was abused by my son. Even though I believe maybe there was at one point beginning might have been both ways. That's why I just
wonder. Then so we're just gonna skip over the whole bathroom rape scene.
So do we want to talk about the bathroom rape scene? Okay.
That was wild.
And then he said, I'm really sorry. He was wild, especially when I don't know if it was it was on purpose, but there's a rape scene going on, the screaming of the dad.
Yeah.
And the mom is watching is watching a plastic surgery.
Yeah, it was. Well, she turns it up, and this is definitely a nod to, again, like, no one's vilifying mothers over here, but in a lot of abuse, sexual abuse things, the child that has been abused are, you know, something to that accord. They usually always say that the mother knew. The mother knew, and she just never said anything. So it's kind of like the short film was definitely wanting to put that on display, you know.
That's true. But the image of the plastic surgery on screen while actually the web was going on, is it an image about actually like make something not real? Real, you see what I mean? Just I'm sure there's a symbolism there, but this image she's watching, what the dad's being
Ari loves his symbolism.
Exactly. But overall, yeah, and the fact that the dad tried to tell the truth and pretty much died because he wanted to tell the truth, and at the end the mother killed the son, I believe. Yeah, killed the son. I don't think he would survive to what happened to him. But the mother killed the son, and the first thing she does is burning the book.
Of course, she
which is completely
she
insane.
Needs to bury this. And like that's what I'm saying, is that she does not want people to know, no matter what has happened. She does not want the world to know what went on in her house, and I feel like that is pretty much the biggest message of that movie, well, that short film, is that because she was just so concerned, you know. I know you've seen Keeping Up Appearances, so it's just astounding the lengths that people will go to protect an image for people that don't really matter, like, let's be honest. Because Billy Bob Four Houses Down bought a new SUV, nobody cares, you know. Like,
about people on Facebook, let's not forget Facebook.
So it's just weird to me, but I digress.
But it was interesting. I think it was an interesting talk, and I would recommend people watching it. It's only half an hour. It's not going to take you the evening.
And it's on YouTube for free. You can't beat free. I'm sorry.
Exactly. And I think, especially if people enjoyed the later movie by Ari Aster, it's very interesting to see where it all started and realize that the themes are pretty much similar in everything it does. And it was an experience. It was not that, for me, it was not that shocking. I think the about sexual abuse, the movie Festen by Lars von Trier was much more shocking to me than actually this one. It was completely
if we're talking about, like, I guess shot value, I think the thing that the movie with sexual abuse that shot me would definitely be Girls Next Door. I refuse to watch it again. I can't.
Girl Next Door. Oh, is that about the torture of that?
I can't.
No. Torture movie is something I avoid watching.
And what makes it worse is that this was like a real case. Like, it really happened. And to think what that girl went through is just, I almost got physically sick watching that, and I refuse to watch it again.
I can't watch really torture movies or something. I've struggled to watch just because it's not why I want to watch a movie. For me, a movie is about escaping, about thinking, not about watching someone being tortured for an hour and a half. I'm sorry. And that's why the hostel movies were something that I watched, but I was just like, what's the point of this? And even the one, a Serbian film, a movie that we never watch because, sorry.
Oh God, I forgot about that movie. See, I tried to block that.
Yes, but no, this is a movie, as when I heard what was in there, and I was just like, why? No, I'm not watching this. I'm sorry. this should be not even fucking shown and seen as a fucking
and I think these are, well, that was one of those movies where you wanted to see it because you couldn't see it, you're not supposed to watch it, you know. So I feel like that was the whole thing, because I remember wanting to watch that. I don't even know why I wanted to watch it. I just remember that people were talking about it and they were like, oh, this is so fucked up, this is so that. I was like, I want to see it.
You even the movie Martyr, the French version, mm-hmm. but not the axe that was the American mm-hmm. version, but the original by Monsieur Logier.
Oh, Tish, did you speak French?
but Martyr is a movie that I find very hard to watch, but in a different way. Martyr, something, if people haven't seen Martyr, it's a movie they should see, because for me it's really good at religion so well. But there is sequence when there is abuse on women. These views are relentless and are really,
wow,
really hard to watch.
You know, this episode got pretty deep. I'm a little worried.
I know. For a 30 minutes short film, we actually went quite big. But
well, I mean,
in Martyr.
Oh, go ahead and finish that thought.
Yeah. There's abuse on women, which are relentless, but the reason for it in the movie. So in some way I can forgive it because there's a reason for it. What actually a movie like Hostel, even Serbian film, is violence for the sake of violence. And it's something that I'm not really agreeing with. Mm-hmm. Ego? It's my take on things.
Well, you know, I have my own, you know, thoughts about this, because I'm a person that I think every feeling, every emotion is valid, and there are some movies that exist for pure to make you uncomfortable and make you sick to the stomach, and some people want to feel that, you know. They do. So if you're feeling shunned right now, don't worry, I stand by your side.
But I do basically I've got a preference with 1980s gore because it was so outrageous, it was fun. And torture porn is something I don't really I've never really been interested in, so yeah, so there we go. So that was a little take on Ari Aster short film, The Strange Things About the Johnson.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
And next week, David's got a nice surprise for us as well. So.
Okay, so we spend a little time in America. We're going to come back to Europe.
Calm down.
In Germany.
Calm down, sir. Calm down. We're not revealing any titles right now.
I am not. I'm just going to give a little clue. It's we're going back to Germany, to Europe, in Germany to be exact. And it's going to be a movie that is not the best movie, but it has things to say. That's all I'm going to say. And so let's tune in next week to find out.
Well, technically, week after next.
That's true. Technically, in 2 weeks' time, yes.
All right. See you guys then.
See you guys. Bye-bye.